including healthcare subsidies that are set to lapse. Republicans argue that these measures are not appropriate for a continuing resolution, which is meant to be a stopgap. From WPFW News, I'm Noah Portner.
Good afternoon. This is the Shai Rana Show with your host, Zain Al-Amin. This is a show that focuses on Arab culture and politics, and it airs every Wednesday for 1 hour at WPFWFM.org and WBAI-FM.
صباح يوم استيقظت وبلا تشاو بلا تشاو بلا تشاو 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 صباح يوم استيقظت ووجدت وطني محتلا يا رفيقي احملني بعيدا وبلا تشاو بلا تشاو بلا تشاو 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 يا رفيقي بعيدا فإن الموت سيأتيني وإن مت كمقاوم أو بلا تشاو بلا تشاو بلا تشاو 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 وإن مت كمقاوم فيجب عليك دفني فنوني على الجبال وبلا تشاو بلا تشاو بلا تشاو 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 فنوني على الجبال تحت ظل احلى الورود وان مر قوم وبلا تشاو بلا تشاو بلا تشاو 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 وان مر قوم سيقولوا ما أحلى هذه الورود تلك ورود ذاك المقاوم وبلا تشاو بلا تشاو بلا تشاو 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 تلك ورود ذاك المقاوم الذي استشهد حرا
That was Billa Chow, sung by Rashid Sakhyan. Of course, most of you recognize the song as an Italian one, a revolutionary song. And this is obviously the Arabic version of it. And among the many words, it's a song, if you're not familiar with it, that somebody who's going off to fight, to resist, as the Palestinians are resisting, as the Yemenis are resisting, as the Lebanese are resisting, as the people of the West and as the Italians are resisting. It's a song that celebrates those that go off to war to fight the invaders, to fight the occupiers. And there's a line in there that says, if I die as a resistor, bury me in the mountains among the flowers. So he's basically saying goodbye to a loved one and telling them that they would like to, that they have the duty to bury them and where to bury them. I play this song, of course, in celebration of the general strike that happened 2 days ago on Monday in Italy. If you have not heard about it, then please do start paying attention to what's happening in the world, because this was a historic moment. And in Turin, in Genoa, in Milan, in Roma, in all over Europe, They shut down ports, they shut down train stations, they shut down schools, they basically shut down the city. And I urge the labor movement here and anybody who's a union member like me that that's what we should be doing. We should be going Italian style and shutting down everything because our government is not going to do anything about this. Certainly not Chuck Schumer, certainly not Richard Torres, certainly not the Hakeem Jeffries, aka the notorious IDF. And the news in terms of what's been happening before I introduce my next segment is that first of all, that we're going to listen to a collage of a concert that broke records at the Wembley Stadium in England, where stars from all over, all over Europe, stars from all over the United States, singers, songwriters, activists, led by people like Brian Eno, the legendary music producer, put together a concert and brought activists from all over the world. Some of my friends that were on the ground there talked about how it was one of the most beautiful days of their lives. They talked about how the tickets sold out. It was a fundraiser for Palestine, obviously, and it was called Together for Palestine. And they sold out the tickets in basically 5 hours. And Wimbledon Stadium, this huge stadium, was filled. The other piece of news I wanted to relay is that there are several countries that have recognized Palestine in the past week at the UN Assembly that is gathering in New York presently. And among them is some of the closest allies to Israel have actually recognized the state of Palestine, like Australia, like France, like Britain, like England, even also Canada, of course. All these countries, one after the other, went up to the podium and recognized the state, which is a symbolic thing, which is appreciated, but we know that this is a method of whitewashing, of rather washing their hands of the crimes they're complicit in. All these countries that recognize Palestine are unable to stop their own murderous hand that's giving a lift to the Israeli genocide. They're completely complicit. You know, as Britain signs on to this, to a Palestinian state, they are running spy missions so that Israel can kill more citizens. And all these countries are involved in some economic trade and in some military assistance with Israel and didn't stop with the recognition of Palestine. It's just a show because the things which we're watching every day, the genocide, is just went on hyper speed right now. We didn't think it can get worse, but it's getting worse in the sense that Netanyahu thinks that he has a few years to do this while Trump is in power, and he's racing against time to kill as many Palestinians and displace them into other territories outside of Gaza. So that's what's happening. At the same time, we'll talk more about it, but at the same time, there's a flotilla that's increasing in numbers. This is a number of ships that have come from all over the world, basically from 44 different countries. And as the flotilla approaches the shores of Gaza, I believe they're approximately now 150 nautical miles from Gaza. As they approach, they were joined along the way with more ships from that embarked from Greece and from Italy. The original ships embarked from Tunisia, where they were bombed there. We'll talk more about that later. But in terms of this recognition of the states, of the state of Palestine, the only country that did not recognize Palestine, the only major, basically European country that did not or refused to recognize Palestine, was met with this general strike. Namely, it was Giorgia Meloni, the prime minister of Italy, a fascist and a very close ally of Netanyahu and the state of Israel. And, you know, she didn't recognize it, and thus we had a general strike. And that's the way you do it. Nothing short of this can stop the war. The other thing is that within a very short distance from my village, a Lebanese American family of six was just killed by Israel. Their car was bombed, two little babies massacred in this bombing, along with their father and their older sibling. And the only survivors are the mother and a daughter, who are in critical condition now. That was a Lebanese American family that was just visiting South Lebanon. And it could have been my family, because we go there every year. It could have been any of my siblings' families that happened. Of course, the United States doesn't recognize Arab Americans as Americans, so they haven't done a single thing about them, about this violation, about this murder. And this marks the over 350 violations of the ceasefire that Israel had signed on to with Lebanon. They have violated the ceasefire. The 350 number is the number of Lebanese they've killed since the ceasefire. It's more like the number 4,000. It's been 4,000 times that they violated the ceasefire that they signed on previously. So with that, I wanted to introduce this collage of these are little snippets from the Palestine Together concert, and we'll play them back to back, starting with Francesca Albanese, followed by Mehdi's speech, Hassan Mehdi's speech, then Ben Jamal of the Palestinian Solidarity Committee, Brian Eno, the producer singing a song based on a Palestinian poem, and ending with a simple song by Khaled Abdullah, the actor and and singer from London. So let's have a listen to these snippets.
As we gather here tonight celebrating life and hope, Israel continues to destroy, to kill, and to occupy land in Palestine. In this very moment, many Palestinians are holding their loved ones in makeshift tents. In Gaza, more than 65,000 people have been killed by Israel's fire. 20,000 of them are just children. Many say the real number is horrendously high, in what experts recognize being a genocide, one that kills not only with bombs, but also with thirst, hunger, infection. In the West Bank, Palestinians face the horror of forced displacement, mass arrests, strangling checkpoints and violent raids daily. Thousands have been killed since October 2023, yes, in the West Bank. Each life is a universe, forever gone. A reality that is so dark, it almost feels impossible to picture from here, from this stage. Such cruelty did not start 700 days ago. For nearly a century, the Palestinian people have lived under the weight of a brutal settler colonial project, a perpetual occupation justified as security, security of whom, and enforced through apartheid. And while no state is innocent, the West carries a particular responsibility. Britain planted the seed of this catastrophe with the Balfour Declaration, promising away a land that was never theirs to give. And this does not mean denying the horror that befell the Jewish people in Europe, nor the need to protect them. But why has that protection come at the expense of another people who had nothing to do with European anti-Semitism? The Palestinian people had nothing to do with European crimes then and now. And even today, Palestinians continue to suffer while our governments turn a blind eye, or worse, they are complicit. They trade weapons. They host Israeli officials. History shows us that human rights are never simply granted. Justice is won through the sweat and the courage of ordinary people. People like the Palestinians. People like the Israelis who resist from within their convulsed society. People like you. History teaches us this. So we must own this responsibility. And if you enjoy human rights, don't dismiss them as just symbolic or good to nothing, because human rights feel useless only to those who do not have to fight for them. When governments betray the most basic human values, it is upon us to fix it. We, the people, stop waiting, organize, protest, demand more from your representatives. Change will come through. Palestine will be free, and we will all be free. We will all be more equal and more human. But today, giving up is not a choice. We don't have that luxury. So let's start from here, together. Thank you.
With the violence that's happening in Gaza, there's a real responsibility to bear witness to the full story, to tell us about the challenges of that. Please welcome an award-winning British-American journalist, CEO and editor-in-chief of the new media company, Zato, Mehdi Hassan.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Wembley. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Friends, for the past 23 months, we have been lied to, manipulated, misled, gaslit, and not just by Israel, but by our own mainstream media. When it comes to the genocide in Gaza, Western journalism has spectacularly failed us. And so it infuriates me when people say Israel needs to allow journalists into Gaza. Yes, Israel does. But Western media must stop acting as if there aren't any journalists in Gaza. The bravest journalists in the world are in Gaza right now. Palestinian journalists. 270. That's how many Palestinian journalists Israel has killed in Gaza. More than were killed in the First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Iraq War, combined. Combined! 270 Palestinian journalists killed on the streets, in their homes, with their families. Killed not in spite of the fact that they were wearing a vest marked press, but because they were wearing a vest marked press. They were not killed by accident as collateral damage. No, they were killed as part of Israel's deliberate campaign to blind the world, to erase all evidence of their crimes. Because to the genociders, there is nothing more dangerous than a camera lens or a microphone. And so they murdered Anas al-Sharif, Hossam Shabat, Mariam Abu Dakka, Roshdi Siraj, Muhammad Abu Hattab with 11 members of his family, Bilal Jadallah, and hundreds more whose names will never be read aloud on CNN or the BBC. And by the way, shame on those Western journalists who have said not a word about the mass killing of their Palestinian counterparts. Shame on them. As a Western journalist myself, I can tell you all this. The Palestinian journalists, they are the best of us. They are the best of us because they are not just documenting a war or a genocide. They're documenting their own annihilation, their own starvation in real time. And so they have shown the world that you can't bomb the truth away. Say it with me. Say it with me. Say it together. You can't bomb the truth away. I can't hear you, Wembley. Louder. Let's do it again. You can't bomb the truth away. Every fallen journalist leaves behind their footage, their words, their examples. And so it's up to each and every one of us to carry their work forward. Let us honor their sacrifice, not with fear, but with courage. Not with silence, but with our loudest voices. Not with despair, but with open defiance. To the fallen journalists in Gaza, to the murdered journalists in Gaza, we say your voices are our voices. Your struggle is our struggle. And your truth will not die. And to Israel and to its allies in the media, to those who think they can censor us with violence, with threats, with smears, hear us tonight. Hear us from Wembley. You will not silence Gaza. You will not silence Palestine. You will not silence the truth. And one day, One day soon, Palestine will be free.
Did you like this video? Don't forget to subscribe to this YouTube channel and turn on...
Nearly 2 years ago, Munzer Isaac stood up in his pulpit in Bethlehem and delivered a sermon to the world. He said this, Gaza as we know it is no more. We will rise again from the midst of destruction as we have always done as Palestinians. But I want you to look into the mirror and ask yourselves, what did I do when Gaza was going through a genocide? Answering that call for solidarity begins by acknowledging that history did not begin on October the 7th. This genocide shows what happens when a system of colonization, of apartheid, is granted impunity for decades. So what Palestinians require of us to show meaningful solidarity is embedded in the call for boycott, divestment and sanctions that they made 20 years ago. It is expressed simply in the words of Omar Barghouti, the co-founder of the BDS movement, who said, what we need from you is that you do us no harm. And that means that we act to end the complicity of our governments, of our public bodies, the councils, the universities that invest billions of pounds in complicit companies. And we end the complicity of those companies themselves. The watershed moment is arriving. Artists are speaking out. Ordinary citizens are mobilizing and winning important BDS victories. 19 councils have committed to divest funds. The co-op has become the first supermarket to vow to remove all Israeli goods from its shelves. And music festivals are dropping Barclays Bank as a sponsor. Friends, Omar Al-Akkad, the writer, said, one day everybody will have always been against this. Collectively, we are building a community of resistance that is not waiting to be on the right side of history. So join us. Be inspired by the resistance and the samud of the Palestinian people who refuse to submit to erasure. And be inspired. Be inspired by the words of our beautiful brother Ghassan Abu Sitta, who said this: it is your world to fight for. It is your tomorrow to create. We will own tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a Palestinian day. Free, free! Free, free! Free, free! Free, free!
O rascal children of Gaza, you who constantly disturb me with your screams under my window, you who filled every morning with rush and chaos, you who broke my vase and stole the lonely flower on my balcony. and scream as you want. And break all the vases. Steal all the flowers. Come back. Just come back.
This is a simple song, a simple song. This is a simple song about simple things, a simple song about simple things, a simple song about simple things. A child is killed. Child is killed. A child is killed. So many killed. This is a simple song. A simple song. A simple song about simple things. Who was that child? What was their story? What would they say? They were here today. This is a simple song. A simple song. This is a simple song about simple things. They took our land, and then they occupied us. And when we fought, they call us terrorists. This is a simple song. A simple song. And then they segregated all our people. There were roads for them, but not for us. One law for them, one for us. So many walls, and then the walls. So many walls. This is a simple song. A simple song. A simple song about simple things. And then their prisons were filled with others. Their prisons filled with half our men and with children and women. What would you do? Where would you go? What would you do? Where would you go? This is a simple song. A simple song. A simple song about simple things. Our mothers wrote our names on our arms. Each one of us was born for the family land. Because most of us, so many of us, yeah, most of us, so many would die before our time. This is a simple song. A simple song.
a simple song about simple things. And all your politicians, the politicians, orphan does for money and the sale of arms. This is a simple song. It is not complicated. It is a simple song. And when they said never again, and when they said never again, it was not for us. This is a simple song. A simple song. This is a simple song. If you want peace, give me justice. End the occupation, share the land. One law for all of us, and no more wars. This is a simple song. That child, but for the grace of God, is you.
A simple song that is sung by Khaled Abdullah, the actor, activist, and singer. And we started with a speech that had a 5-minute standing ovation at Palestine Together, and with Francesca Albanese setting the stage on fire and telling us what we should be doing at this urgent moment. And it was followed by Mehdi calling out Israel for killing all the journalists and calling out Western media for not saying a word about their fellow journalists because they don't give a damn. I went to demonstrations against these American journalists, and they are smiling and happy and giving us the middle finger because they don't give a damn. And and you can see it even in the atrium of the New York Times during those demonstrations, where the journalists were violent against us, especially when you have a set of journalists that all have ties to the Israeli state. Or entity, rather. We won't give it that credit. That was followed by Ben Jamal, an amazing speech about how we're not waiting for that moment. We're not waiting for history to judge us, and history will judge everything, and we will be on the right side of history. That's for sure, but we're not waiting for that moment because we need to act now. And that ended with Brian Eno, the British producer, who basically recited this powerful little poem called Rascal Children of Gaza. And now we'll listen to a report from Dropsite News, which has been doing amazing stuff. And in this, we have Jeremy Scahill, one of the most important journalists and somebody everybody should be following, because all he puts out is the crystal clear truth. And the crystal clear truth that he puts out here is that this is not about Israel. This is not about Netanyahu. It's about Israel. And you have people charlatans like traitors like Bernie Sanders, who are saying this is about Netanyahu, as if Netanyahu goes away, the occupation will be fine. That's why you have to really watch out for Democratic politicians, because they are more effective in justifying occupation than the shrill and belligerent and ignorant Netanyahu, it's Israel, dummy.
Ahead of this Gaza ethnic cleansing campaign, there were a lot of reports that inside the cabinet meetings, you would have the chief of staff and others saying, we don't have the international legitimacy to carry out this ethnic cleansing, and we don't have the manpower to fully occupy Gaza City long term, because the reservists are all shaken with PTSD. The Haredi are, there's that entire complication there. We just physically can't do it. And if we try to physically do it, it will be a disaster for us. He's doing it anyway. How much of that is misdirection? How much of that is real? Is Netanyahu pushing the country beyond the physical limits, and it's beyond its resource limits, forgetting the ethics and the morality of it? Is he going to burn and break it?
I think the genuine part of this story, or the one that I think is rooted in fact, is getting ground soldiers in to Gaza, from Israel, is going to come with a cost that could prove too high for Israeli society. Israel has lost, relative to its tiny size, a fairly large number of its soldiers, either being taken captive or being killed or wounded in a long-term way. That's true. I think that the Israeli appetite for, because it's such a tiny country, for its soldiers dying is probably not a very strong one. So I think there is some legitimacy to, when military commanders who have to deal with their troops every day are looking at these plans. But outside of that, I think that in general, the reports about Netanyahu being motivated by keeping his coalition together or concerns about his political trials, I think these are greatly exaggerated. And, one of the facts is that is relevant in recent opinion polls of the Israeli public. A very large majority of Israelis, regardless of their political opinion, of Jewish Israelis, support the Gaza agenda. And I think we have to keep repeating that it's as much as Bernie Sanders wants to pretend there isn't a place called Israel that's doing this, but that it's just a man called Netanyahu and his far right cabinet. The majority of that society is behind this bloodthirsty mass murder campaign. And I think that needs to be repeated over and over. So Netanyahu is at the zenith of his political career. I think he very much believes that this is his moment to run the deck. I think that he really, truly wants to depopulate Gaza entirely of Palestinians, because a long-term Israeli occupation of Gaza is going to mean a war of attrition against the occupation forforces there. I also think, Netanyahu is a shrewd student of American politics. We don't know what's going to happen in the midterm elections in the United States. I think that Netanyahu feels like he has a window here that is the best position that a genocidal Israeli leader has ever been in, where you have Trump imposing a kind of authoritarian agenda in the United States, where there is a full carte blanche support for Israel's war of annihilation, where Trump himself put on the table this notion of a Gaza Riviera. Netanyahu likes to talk about it, but he doesn't say it's going to be American run. He talks about it as an Israeli agenda. And I think we have to take him at his word that that is the actual agenda here. So, I think that there is a level at which some of the domestic political considerations impact Netanyahu. I think it's been greatly, greatly exaggerated. This is a genocidal, maniacal lunatic who is operating with the full credit, support, and armaments of the United States in an unprecedented manner. And that's taking into account 76 years of unquestioning support. So it's a major, major factor here. Netanyahu believes this is the chance to do it.
I would just add, when we're talking about capability, air power is everything. Air power is everything. And Israel does not have to make any hard decisions because it just gets an unlimited supply of bombs. Unlimited. Think about how many bombs have fallen on Gaza every single day for 2 years now. And not only Gaza, they bombed Lebanon, they bombed Yemen, they bombed Syria, they bombed Iran, they bombed Qatar. There's very few countries they haven't bombed in the region. They have proven to be actually quite a meager fighting force on the ground. After carpet bombing entire areas, the troops finally move in, and they still get attacked by fighters who are withstanding a genocide, who are starving, who have nothing more than homemade kind of munitions that they run up to a tank and throw it into and cause casualties, actually. So air power is everything in this. And as long as these bombs keep coming and are supplied, they don't have to make any difficult decisions. They can keep this up. So that is the problem. And that's why a lot of the policy comes from the U.S. That's where it has to change. Israel is not going to stop. It's not going to be convinced to stop. It's not a Netanyahu problem. This is its very ethos as a colonial state. So it has to be stopped by not being able to do it anymore. And the only way to do that is for the support from the U.S., from Europe, to end.
So that was Dropsite News talking about, talking basically with Jeremy Scahill and Abdul Sharif Quddus, who you would hear on Democracy Now! Usually in the mornings. We heard a lot from him during the Egyptian Revolution, of course. It's to correct the record that many are, especially in the Democratic Party, trying to blame Netanyahu for everything and not the state of Israel, which has been displacing Palestinians, killing them, calling it mowing the grass, way before October 7th. There's been the sign of the times right now. It's amazing the generational gap that exists right now between, for example, Gen Z and their boomer parents, who turned out to be the good Germans of the 21st century. And of course, you know the term good Germans are the ones that stayed quiet about the Germans who actually either participated in the Holocaust or stayed quiet about it. To give you an example, this is an incident that happened yesterday where a young woman, she looks about college age, from New Mexico, posts on Twitter and on social media in general, this post about her father, who's a representative of New Mexico, the state of New Mexico, a state senator at that, saying that her father had, she just found out her father had left on a paid trip to Israel, as many state representatives from 50 different states were asked to do so in a desperate attempt by Israel to shift the paradigm right now that's happening, that's shifting against them, because they're losing, of course, the PR battle. But here's this young woman saying, you know, what the hell is my father doing over there? And she shares the post where he posted this long post talking about denying genocide and basically parroting every single piece of propaganda that the Israelis fed him, along with, I'm sure, thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And she's speculating what could have possibly allowed for this corruption in her father other than money. And she actually, at the end of this dispatch, she basically says, I am hoping that this will be the end of his career, that this is the last term that he will serve. This is a young woman talking about her father, who's a senator, who has betrayed humanity and even betrayed his own country, because she actually says, you know, my father represents New Mexico, but what is a visit to Israel at this point, what is it going to do for New Mexico? Obviously, he is prioritizing his relationship with Israel, and especially the money he's receiving from AIPAC over the welfare of the citizens of New Mexico. Another thing that's a sign of the times is that we have a Trump administration, which is, yes, you know, I'm sure a lot of you Democrats think that, oh, there's a huge distance between, they think that we've called uncle, that we think, you know, the Republicans are the greater evil. But the reality is the Republicans just are more articulate about how the evil that the empire does, while the Democrats don't articulate it. They never say the quiet words out loud. And one of the things that came out is the U.S. envoy to Syria, who recently said that he, because he's been sent to Lebanon to disarm the resistance, he says, we arm the Lebanese army so that they can disarm Hezbollah. Who else are they going to fight? We're going to arm them so they can fight Israel? I don't think so. So you are arming them so that they can fight their own people. So this guy admits what the Lebanese people have been warning about, is that the United States is trying to start a civil war for the sake of their own little entity, their own little battleship called Israel, so that the Lebanese can, who had suffered a long civil war between 1975 and 1992, that to return to those, to that state, so that the state can be weakened and more Lebanese civilians can be killed, and therefore Israel can do whatever it wants in the wake of such travesty. The other thing that's been coming out recently is the issue of how recently an Armenian podcaster talked about how her grandmother during the Armenian genocide had been taken under the wing of Palestinians who took them into their homes. And she reminds everybody that, as her grandmother used to tell her, that among the Armenians were also Jews that were escaping, and they were taken in with great hospitality by the Palestinians. And therefore, the betrayal of these Palestinians by the same people who took them in is such a travesty to her. So these facts have been coming out more and more than ever. And lastly, I just wanted to mention a little bit about the flotilla, just an update on the flotilla. As you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, is that several ships, are dozens of ships rather, from 44 countries are still making their way to the Gazan shores. They're approximately 150 nautical miles from there, and they have been hit with the drones. They have been hit with chemicals and with all kinds of psychological interference. But I just want to say that Italy actually acted and has sent a Navy ship to support the flotilla, which is a huge piece of news. And of course, the ships are continuing. They've expected this kind of psychological warfare and are hoping to break the siege. It's going to be difficult, but they're hoping that the numbers, with the numbers of ships that have joined from Tunisia, from the shores of Italy, from the shores of Greece, that they will be able to overwhelm and get through somehow. Thank you for listening. This is Zain Al-Amin signing off with the Shy Nana Show.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnested. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed world leaders at the United Nations today, urging greater support to fend off Russia's aggression. He also blasted world governments for not doing enough to end global suffering.
Even during bloodshed, there isn't a single international institution that can truly stop it. That's how weak these institutions have become. For decades, just statements and statements.
Zelensky's speech comes a day after meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump at the U.N. Trump then said on social media he now believes Ukraine can win back all the territory it has lost to Russia, a dramatic shift from his past calls for Ukraine to concede land to end the war. This is Russia's making a stronger offensive to take land in the Donetsk. President Donald Trump addressed the United Nations Tuesday.
Your countries are going to hell.
He carried the MAGA message to world leaders in an hour-plus long speech.
You need strong borders and traditional energy sources if you are going to be great again.
He blamed the United Nations for ruining nations in its support of refugees and immigrants in thinly veiled xenophobic language.
Your countries are being ruined. The United Nations is funding an assault on Western countries and their borders.
And he called climate change
the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world.
Then he assailed UN scientific experts on climate change who make predictions.
They were made by stupid people.
He also framed himself as a president of peace, saying he ended seven wars in his 7 months of office, then threatened Iran, saying his obliteration of Iran's nuclear facilities led to peace with Israel and Iran. He assailed the more than 150 nations that have recognized Palestine as a state, including allies who made the recent announcement to do so, France, the UK, Canada, Australia, and Portugal. Activists demanding an end to Israel's war in Gaza rallied outside the United Nations.
It's more than a humanitarian crisis. It's more than ethnic cleansing. It's a genocide.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to speak before the UN Friday. In Jerusalem, families of hostages took down their protest tents outside Netanyahu's residence, saying they will move their protest to New York when he addresses the UN. Karmit Palti Kazir is daughter of former hostages.
We will not let him forget the hostages. Our government refuses to put real offers on the table and is actively sabotage negotiation.
Italian Premier Giorgia Meloni says she will not support the recognition of a Palestinian state until two conditions are met. All hostages are released and Hamas be excluded from any future Palestinian government. The Global Samud Flotilla reports vessels in their fleet have come under attack, facing explosions, unidentified drones, and communications jamming. Yasemin Akar, a German activist aboard one of the main ships seeking to deliver humanitarian aid to Gaza to break Israel's decades-long siege, reported the first attack.
We have sighted 15 to 16 drones, big drones right above our vessel. One of the sailing boats has been attacked by a drone.
Democratic leaders have accused President Trump of throwing a tantrum and chickening out after he canceled a meeting with them ahead of a looming federal government shutdown in 1 week. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The kind of meeting we wanted to have that he just pulled out of, it's the kind of thing every president has to do. It's plain and simple. By refusing to even sit down with Democrats, Donald Trump is causing the shutdown. This is a Trump shutdown.
Democrats are opposed to a funding bill that does not include a reversal to Medicaid cuts in Trump's big, beautiful tax and spending bill and a health care subsidy extension for Americans struggling with high health care costs. Hundreds of federal employees who lost their job in Elon Musk's cost-cutting